This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back here on Better You Bet Radio.com Sports Football Friday before Conference Championship Sunday in the National Football League. We have loved both last season and this season and getting to talk to our friend Evan Silva from Establish the Run on a regular basis. I say it every week. He is the fantasy football goat. His website, Establish the Run, is must visit. His matchups column, I think, is some of the best football writing on the internet, whether you're looking to make money gambling, fantasy football, or just learn more about the game. Evan is the absolute best, and his website does a great job covering the NBA as well. So urge everyone to check it out, establishtherun.com. Evan is on Twitter at Evan Silva. Evan joins us now to talk about the Bills and the Chiefs and the Packers and the Bucks and what I think is the most anticipated championship Sunday since 1993, where Bills and Chiefs was Kelly and Montana, and we had Aikman and Young with the Cowboys and the Niners. Evan, what's going on, brother? Welcome back to You Better You Bet on a Football Friday. How you feeling, my friend, ahead of championship Sunday?
Well, I'm feeling right. It's freaking freezing in Chicago, but we're getting back indoor dining though tomorrow, so that's pretty exciting. Although right now I'm driving from Chicago to St. Louis, so if anything happened that was big, like over the last 2 hours, I missed it. So you know, feel free to correct me if I say something wrong. I know that Antonio Brown is out. I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is questionable, but I haven't been staring at the
Mahomes
news.
Is in. That's the only big one. Mahomes is in.
Do you know that Patrick Mahomes is playing? Correct, Evan. Are you aware that Patrick Mahomes is playing in the game?
Yes.
Okay, great. That's probably one of the very few pieces of information in the last few hours that's like you. It's important to know that Patrick Mahomes is playing. Let's start with the NFC game and you know, with Tampa and Green Bay. I think there are a ton of angles we could potentially cover, the first meeting and all this stuff. But I'll start with, like, what is the most interesting thing to you about this matchup in the NFC Championship?
I'm completely ignoring that Week 6 game. You know, it was the worst game that Aaron Rodgers has played all year. Ever since then, he's been on an absolute tear. He is, you know, very deservedly going to win the NFL MVP award. And I think, you know, just even great teams, you know, every year, pretty much except for, you know, with the exception of that Dolphins team that ran the table and the Patriots team that did in the regular season, you know, teams, every great team has a bad game. And I don't know if the Packers are a great team, but I think they are really, really good. And I'm going to give them a pass for that game. This game is going to be at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers, again, has been playing at such an extremely high level, elevating teammates. You know, Robert Tonyan, you know, Alan Lazard, Marcus Valdes-Scantling when he decides to catch the football. These players have been elevated by Aaron Rodgers. And to me, that is the sign, the truest sign of great, truly great quarterback play is elevating teammates, making guys around you better. You know, this year he's been getting the ball out of his hands quickly. He's been sensational against the blitz. Tampa Bay, the fifth most blitz-happy team in the NFL, where Aaron Rodgers is number four in the NFL in passer rating against the blitz. So I'm throwing out that Week 6 game.
I'll hand it off to Ken to talk more about the Packers offense and how you see them going head to head against this Bucs defense, who you might like in the game as far as the skill position players are concerned, and what you project for the Packers offense. But let's start here with our game breakdown. Bucks offense versus Packers defense. And Ken and I were talking to start the show, and Ken was saying maybe we would see Green Bay kind of employ a similar defensive game plan to what the Saints did last week and try and take the short pass away, dare Tampa to run it, and dare Tampa to throw it deep. Now, I'm of the opinion, and I could be incorrect about this, maybe it's a little narrative-based, but I think Tom Brady is going to eventually find a way to put some points up on the board. Again, narrative-based, but I like some of the matchups Tampa's got here. How do you see this playing out? Tampa offense versus Packers defense, points of attack, and how you think Tom Brady and company might play on Sunday in Lambeau.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think that this Antonio Brown loss is, you know, is going to be damning for Tampa Bay. And I'm with you that I think – see, one of the things that I bet before I get to Missouri where I can't bet on any apps, but so I made sure to get my bets in, you know. One of the things that I bet before I got on the road was Tampa Bay team total over 23.5. That's one of my favorite bets of the week. You know, Tom Brady has I think that if you're, you know, in favor of just good football and you know, your team, your quote unquote, your team isn't playing in any of these games and you're just a fan of watching good football. I think that you should be very happy that it was Tampa Bay that advanced here and not New Orleans, because I think Drew Brees really would have struggled on the road at Lambeau, which last time I checked the weather, it's supposed to be, it's not supposed to get above 30 degrees. And I think that would have been really problematic for the Saints offense and Drew Brees in particular. Tom Brady's got an extensive history of playing really well in cold weather. Chris Godwin, who I think is going to be his go-to guy on Sunday, he played at Penn State. You know, obviously Gronk spent a lot of years in New England. Brady went to Michigan, you know, played in New England for two decades. I think that this offense is going to run pretty smoothly against Green Bay and have plenty of success to be able to get over that team total of 23.5. Unless you guys, I know that you guys are a little, you guys look at the weather a little bit harder than I do typically. Do we have any major wind concerns for this game? I know it's supposed to, it might snow, right?
I think the wind looks like it's going to be okay. The wind doesn't look like it's going to be bad. And Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that we see any snow in the forecast. It's just going to be cold, really. So I don't think the weather is going to play a huge factor in this game at all.
Excellent. Yeah, Evan, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
No, that's great.
If there's no weather, if there's no weather, we could proceed with the other side of the ball, right? Which is, and you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I would say likely MVP. We would all be shocked if he did not win the award. You mentioned making his teammates better. I mean, basically, you know, they played the number one defense last week. You know, we're still able to score, you know, enough in the game to win. I don't know if they were that impressive, but it was also the best defense in the league, maybe by far. And not really a lot of teams have been able to stop them all year. They've been able to score on, you know, their first three, four drives of the game in almost every game that they played. One team that was able to stop them because of, you mentioned the Rodgers negative plays, was Tampa. So from a game plan standpoint and just, you know, trying to limit basically like the MVP of the league and probably the best unit that we have of any team this season, how do you see it playing out with Aaron Rodgers trying to score against the Tampa defense?
Yeah, I think that the Packers should essentially abandon the run from the outset. I think it should be an extremely pass-heavy game plan. I think that the game plan should be devised to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands quickly. And he's had a number of games this year where he's gotten the ball out of his hands just extremely quickly, in rhythm, extremely decisive. And that's the way to negate the Bucs' defensive front seven, to circumvent it, because it can be very dangerous from a pass rush standpoint. And it's, you know, the best run defense in the league. So I want to see a lot of Aaron Jones in the receiving game. Last time I checked, his receiving prop on DraftKings Sportsbook was 23.5 yards. And I think that that's definitely, you know, the Buccaneers gave up the most receptions to running backs of all teams in the NFL during the regular season. And I think that, and Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon are both on the injury report. I know that they are both expected to play, but I think this is a game where we see the Packers dial up Aaron Jones as a true feature back. Last week he was only 64% of the snaps. I think he gets up closer to 80 here, and they don't mess around with the run as much, because it's a counterintuitive way to attack Tampa Bay.
All right, let's move to the AFC Championship game. Awesome breakdown there, both sides of the ball, the Packers and the Buccaneers. Evan, we gave our picks for Championship Sunday before we brought you on. We both think the Bills are going to win the game. How do you see this one playing out? Bills visiting the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is in. He's cleared concussion protocol, but we don't know how that toe is going to hold up after we saw him hobbling around the field last Sunday against the Browns.
Yeah, I'm picking the Bills. I'm with you. So that gets me a little excited, or, you know, gives me some solid confirmation bias on, you know, a take that I think is maybe a little bit contrarian. Certainly, I last time I looked, I think it was Bills money line at like plus 150 or something around there. And I love that, maybe parlaying that with, I don't know, the Bucks to cover, or, you know, just whatever you think about in that first game. But yeah, I'm on the Bills to win outright as well, largely for one of the reasons that you just mentioned, that, you know, Patrick Mahomes, much of his postseason success he's had while being extremely effective as a runner. Last year in the Chiefs' three playoff games, he averaged 45 rushing yards per game. And then over the course of his career, you know, so much of his success has been on those, you know, those lengthy rollouts where he can allow for his receivers to get open deep. I mean, who can cover Tyreek Hill, you know, sprinting, you know, 45 yards downfield? I mean, you know, the answer is like nobody. And Patrick Mahomes on those rollouts gives him enough time to do that. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that in this game against Buffalo. And Buffalo's weakness from a defensive standpoint, they've been giving against the run, but really their biggest weakness is that they have not had great pass rush. And, you know, that's kind of negated a little bit when Patrick Mahomes is going to be immobile, as it seems like. Offense has not been as, you know, it's not been the same this year. And I think the main reason for that is their offensive line play. You know, they haven't had Mitchell Schwartz and the rest of their offense. He's their best offensive lineman. He's not going to be back this week. And the rest of their offensive line just isn't that great. So, you know, I think that can help where the Bills' defense is weakest in terms of his pass rush, and spark that pass rush a little bit. And then exacerbating that situation is the lack of mobility for Patrick Mahomes. And I think that all these things are going to be really, really – I think they're going to be a little bit difficult for the Chiefs to overcome. Again, you know, once again, the Chiefs really – you know, they have not – I mean, they have not won a game by more than 7 points since week 8 against the Jets. You know, this has not been a dominant team. Their defense is not dominant. It's sort of like a bend-but-don't-break unit. And I don't think they're going to be able to put up, you know, 30 here against Buffalo. But I do think that Buffalo could put up 30 against them.
Yeah, Evan, I thought there was a lot of good stuff in there about, you know, Mahomes and how he can attack, you know, can or cannot attack the Bills defense, what their strengths and weaknesses are. Let's talk about Josh Allen a little bit in this Bills offense and what we think they can do in the game. We remember the first meeting between the teams again a long time ago. Maybe you're tossing out that performance. I think Nick and I would certainly, you know, like to believe that he will play better. Josh Allen will, rather, in this game than he did in that game. But Allen didn't play well in that game. Chiefs were able to run the ball. But from a Bills offense standpoint, what can we expect with a kind of a beat up Kansas City defense? What's kind of their ceiling for points and productivity in this game?
Yeah, you know, the Josh Allen did not play well in these teams' first meeting. I think that these teams were different teams than they are now, though. When they first met. And so that's another situation where, I mean, you know, it's a one game sample and I'm just kind of throwing it out. I'm not putting a lot of stock in it. I think that we're going to see the Bills do what they did largely last week, and that's be extremely, extremely pass heavy. You know, Zach Moss, their power back, their slash goal line back, he's not, you know, he's done for the postseason. Devin Singletary, he ran 33 pass routes last week. Now, he didn't do a whole lot. He only had 10 touches in that game against Baltimore. I don't think that that's too surprising in hindsight. But the Chiefs have been extremely giving in terms of receiving production to opposing running backs. And also, In terms of rushing efficiency, allowing over 4.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs, I think we see Devin Singletary pop up for a pretty good game. His price is cheap still in daily fantasy. He ran 33 pass routes last week, by far most among all running backs in the divisional round. I think we're going to see him a lot more involved as a pass catcher this week. And I like the over on his prop at 19.5 receiving yards. I think that he's going to go from seeing, you know, 10 touches last week to like 17, somewhere in that range against Kansas City. And I think he's going to be efficient both as a rusher and as a receiver. There are some decent props on him in terms of like his rushing plus receiving yards if you look around. But I think that, you know, the Josh Allen is the most dangerous quarterback left in the playoffs, certainly from a dual threat standpoint, because, you know, you've got Tom Brady, who's pretty much immobile. His rushing pluses are pretty much limited to being, you know, just an excellent, like, short yardage guy who just falls forward and gets it every time. And then Patrick Mahomes taking away some of his mobility due to the turf toe injury. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is you know, a very good athlete, but not really a dynamic scrambler. Josh Allen absolutely can be. And, you know, in this, they're going to play spread offense. They've got 5 receivers, you know, that they can use really effectively, you know, even if you go on down to Isaiah McKenzie. And they're going to be able to spread out the Chiefs. And I think they're going to have success throwing the ball and Josh Allen running the ball against this defense.
Evan, final question, and we'll let you roll on your drive to St. Louis to enjoy conference championship weekend. I remember saying the Tuesday after the game in week 6 that the Chiefs and Bills played that I thought Sean McDermott had laid out the game plan to maybe stop Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. Play everybody back, let them run the ball, get them into third down. Now Mahomes beat them like on every third down in that game. Ken watched the game yesterday. A lot of those with his legs. I would be pretty surprised if we saw anything but that defensive game plan from McDermott. Let the Chiefs run the ball, play everyone back, prevent the big play. And for that reason, Evan, I can't believe I'm saying this because I like the dog and I like the under. I think this game's going to go under somehow, some way here because of that. So maybe you don't have a thought on the total and that's okay, but do you think we'll see a similar game plan from Sean McDermott to what we saw in week 6? Let the Chiefs run and take away the big play from Patrick Mahomes.
I think even, you know, more so, they're like truly incentivized to do it now because of the question marks about Patrick Mahomes' mobility. What was the final score that year? Was it 26-15?
26-17.
Yeah.
26-17. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think that if they come out of this game holding Kansas City to 26 and then, you know, kind of banking that their offense can be more successful than it was in the first meeting, and I fully expect it to be. I mean, you've got a healthy John Brown. You've got, you know, Stephon Diggs. Just, I mean, nobody can cover Stephon Diggs right now. Cole Beasley was full practice, I believe, today.
Yep.
That's a really good sign. Yeah. Gabriel Davis has stepped forward as a factor. And again, Isaiah McKenzie, if Gabriel Davis is banged up, is another guy that they can use a lot. And the Chiefs have, down the stretch, got gashed really week in and week out by tight ends. And that bodes well, I think, for Dawson Knox. I think that the Bills can play a very similar game plan defensively to what they did in these teams' first meeting and then just have higher expectations of their offense. And I think they're going to get it. And I think that the Bills' team total at 25.5 is another interesting bet. If you're looking to bet an over in this game.
Evan Silva, the absolute best in the business. He is on Twitter, at Evan Silva. His website is establishtherun.com. Like I said, NFL's wrapping up, but I use it for great NBA stuff as well. Mike Gallagher, a guy that I followed for a long time, does great work for Establish the Run. They've got a lot of other great NBA writers and content producers as well. So check out Evan's site, Establish the Run. Evan, safe travels to St. Louis. Wishing you the best of luck on Championship Sunday, and we look forward to catching up with you to talk a little Super Bowl here on the show.
Thanks, fellas. Good luck this weekend.
That's our buddy Evan Silva from Establish the Run here on You Better You Bet. Okay, we will I was going to break, but I want to say something about that interview. I love that he was like that. I and you also were like, yeah, like this is how we think it's going to go, Bills defense versus Chiefs offense.
Right.
And then he was like, no, it's going to be like even more. Like it's going to be that like on steroids.
Yeah. Even
I've been saying it, because I've been saying it all week, and like I've done radio and I was off Wednesday, Thursday. I had, I think, 3 interviews Wednesday, like my customary set yesterday, and then like 6 today or whatever. And I said it on all of them, but like we hadn't really talked about it. And I was hoping you would agree, because I like when we agree. And then you feel the same way. And now Evan feels the same way. And I'm like, well, this is just right. Until it's the Chiefs score 60 and we all lose.
There are versions of the game where Mahomes is good enough that he looks amazing because he's the best player in the league. So like there's a version of this game that plays out like that. But I think what you and I feel much better about is, okay, like their ability to contain the Chiefs offense and not have it go completely crazy, which I feel very good about. But then also like, it is very tough to imagine games that play out where the Bills do not score in the game very much. I mean, very tough to imagine that, honestly. Like, would require injuries, would require a lot of turnovers. It's just, I mean, again, like, there are versions where it doesn't happen, but I think much, much more likely than not, they put a much better showing on tape than they did in the first meeting.
How frustrating is it going to be if, like, Mahomes beats us with, like, one of these annoying games where he just
third down conversions again? Third down conversions again. I mean, I just watched the other game. Believe me, I relived the frustration. I am more than ready for it to happen again if we end up getting to that point. I had the Bills first half in that game, which lost in excruciating fashion, missed a field goal for the cover at the end of the half. Yeah, I mean, there's a version where it plays out like that. Again,
you know what's funny also, Ken? In the wild card rounds, the Bills kind of did the same thing against the Colts, but Rivers just kept killing them on third down.
Right. Yeah.
I think we know what they're going to do.
I mean, I think this is going to be very. I mean, you brought up what's the 1993? That's when you think that was the last most anticipated NFC and AFC championship game pair was.
Yep. Cowboys, Niners, Bills, Chiefs, Kelly, Montana, the Montana Chiefs against the Bills, and then Troy.
Yeah, like what would be second even in that time? I'm trying to think about like when there was a pair of games that I was the most excited about. I'm having trouble racking my brain for it.
I don't think there is one that stands out because I thought about it for a while and like none like really stood out to like this degree where it was like, wow. Like,
well, sometimes you have one elite team. Sometimes you have one very elite team and they're a heavier favorite in their game. And like they carry the weekend because they're like the best.
Even like all the Brady Manning matchups weren't that exciting. Like the other side, the NFC matchup was never really that exciting. The main one was like the Brady Manning.
The best Brady Manning, like entering the game matchup, was the same day as the Bears playing in the NFC Championship game, and it was like, we're good to never see that game ever again. I think we're pretty good on that one.
Which is wild
to think about it that way. I mean, I think you did a really good job framing it that way.
Yeah, because I was gonna say even like the Saints Vikings game with Favre as the Vikings quarterback.
It was
Colts Jets. Yeah, and Sanchez's rookie year and Rex's first year. So I don't even think that.
Pierre Garçon, great game. I got the highlight for that game.
Because I was thinking and like, the excitement level of the Patriots Ravens Giants Niners games, but not like the hype going into it was not.
I have a weekend. Yeah, I mean this is not as good as this weekend I think, but when it was Patriots Ravens. Was it Patriots Ravens paired with Seahawks Niners? What was paired with Seahawks Niners?
I was actually going to say this. It was Broncos Patriots. It was the
Broncos,
first Broncos
Patriots.
Yes,
you're right. You're absolutely right. That's what
that one.
That had some juice. That's Seahawks Niners. I've like never been more excited for a championship game that didn't feature my team. I think.
You know that honestly. I had a lot of money.
I had the Niners money line for
on
a lot.
San Francisco.
Yeah, so did I. It's a little wild that team never won a Super Bowl.
Literally got within a yard of it.
Sure
the next
did.
Year.
Yep.
And I will also say that game, the Packers Seahawks game, I don't think it's elevated to that level. The collapse game because
it just had the ending. The ending was insane. Yeah.
Seahawks Niners and the Vikings Saints NFC Championship game with Favre, I think are two of the best games that don't get talked about the way that they should, especially, and I would even argue the Viking Saints game was actually probably better than the Seahawks.
That's the most I've felt like aside from Seahawks Niners, that's the most like in-game drama where you're like, it just felt like the stakes like were insanely
high. It was the Super Bowl.
Right. When you have, I mean, Patriots, Colts, but, you know, when the winner was going to beat the Bears was also another one of those games where it's just, I mean, just an insane level of unpredictable drama. I mean, like an insane level, and the stakes and the legacies that were involved.
Did I ever tell
wild.
You? Yeah. So I watched that game at my buddy Carl's house with all my college friends. The spread of the game was Saints minus 3.5. I think I've told this story before. Yeah. Everyone there, except for me, had Saints minus 3.5. I bet Vikings money line. Saints win by 3. We all lose.
Perhaps there was some consumption of substances and beverages going on, perhaps.
Yeah, usually at that particular soiree, I think it was mostly consumption and not many beverages. That would be my guess. Probably
fair enough.
All right, we'll take a break here on You Better, You Bet. And when we come back, it's a visit with Pro Sports Better. Our friend, the great Rufus Peabody, the brilliant Rufus Peabody of the Bet the Process podcast, to give us his thoughts, his process behind Championship Sunday. Always a blast when Rufus joins us. We look forward to having Rufus Peabody on with us right after this on the BetQL Audio Network.